It's very, very interesting that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu speaks about three treasures of a devotee. Let us think for a moment. What could these three treasures be? Do you have any treasures? Something which is valuable for you? It's a good question, isn't it? What is precious in your life? What is something which you really want to guard with your life's energy, like a treasure? A millionaire will protect his $1 million. Maybe a jewel. Do you have a treasure? A spiritual treasure. Yes, a young devotees always have. Naika, I'm not here to request answers from you. For the forum, I want that you give answers to your own heart and keep them confidential. A life is valuable when there are some valuables in the life. Are there maybe relationships which are valuable for you? Are there maybe objects which you hold very dear? It's very interesting what Lord Chaitanya says are the three treasures of the devotee. And I would very much like to relate these to you this evening. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Matya Lila, 20th chapter, text 143. He says the three treasures, Tina Dhan of a devotee are his relationship to Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, his devotional service to Krishna, and finally Prema or love of Krishna. These are the three treasures of a devotee. And it is said that these three treasures reside in specific places of the beautiful form of the Lord. As you know, the whole Vedic scriptures, or all the Vedic scriptures, discuss about Sambandha, the relationship of the soul to the Lord. Abhideya, the activities of the devotee in that loving relationship. And finally, Prayojana, or the prema, the love which a devotee has for Krishna. Now these three things are three subjects which correspond to the three treasures of a devotee: his relationship to Krishna, his devotional service to Krishna, and his love for Krishna, reside at three specific places of the Lord's transcendental body. Now, the Sambandha, or the relationship to Krishna, resides in the first bent in Krishna's body. Krishna's body is bent in three places. First is at the ankles. The next bent, Abhideya, is happening at his hips. And the third bent, that's very interesting. I learned it today. is actually said to sometimes reside at his neck, but really it resides in his heart. Prayojana, or the love of Krishna, resides in Krishna's heart. That is something which is very, very important for Lord Krishna. It is in his heart. Sri Krishna is bent in three places when he stands, and we will hear a little bit more about this. And this tells us that for his devotees, he is pointing to his feet. You should have a relationship to me. Then he points to his hips. You should serve me. Do some seva. And then he points at his heart, saying, you should love me. These are the three treasures of the devotee, which a devotee should guard with his love. Now, the Lord also resides at three places, by the way. And in these three places, he's perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. He resides in Dwaraka, where he is perfect. He resides in Mathura, where he is more perfect. And he is in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan Dham, where he is most perfect. And this is so because only in Braj, Krishna manifests the madhurya, the sweetness of his form and the sweetness of his activities. As you might have heard, Krishna is a little formal in Dwaraka, a little less formal in Mathura, and totally loving and spontaneous in Braj. Sometimes when he is in Dwaraka, he remembers his days in Braj, and he said, there I am really happy. I cannot see how the days and nights pass in Vrindavan. I am only engaged in Leela with my loving devotees. Here in Dwaraka, I feel not inclined to play my flute, because I know you will not like it so much. So I have put my flute away, but in Vrindavan, I play from morning till evening on my flute. This is how Krishna expresses himself in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This brings us to understanding that there are four excellent aspects of sweetness of Krishna. First, there is the Rupa Madhurya, then the Venu Madhurya, then the Rati Madhurya, and the Leela Madhurya. And I would like to give some examples of all this to make your heart happy and your faces smile in Krishna conscious happiness. This is a good project. Let's see if I'm successful. Then we will decide. So, Rupa Madhurya, Krishna's extraordinary sweetness in his form is described that Krishna in Braj is always Kishore Krishna. He is around 10 to 12 years old, and that's the age when someone is very, very slatki or sweet. Slatki means sweet. To look at, we were in just now in Beograd, and there two very nice devotees came, and one was called Sri Hari, and he was 9 to 10 years old. And when he was dressed in the dhoti, and he was helping me to distribute prasadam, everyone took photos, not of me, which is I can understand, but of Slatki Sri Hari. Because this is when the attractiveness fully manifests. It's so, such an innocent, sweet attractiveness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has dedicated one song to this wonderful Rupa. He has called it the Rupa Kirtan, the Kirtan about the form of the Lord. He has sung this as an overflowing spiritual emotion. He's just overwhelmed. The old Greek would describe eros as an overwhelming feeling which takes possession of a person's whole inner being, even if he does not wish to be overwhelmed by this love. They felt that this eros, it has nothing to do with the modern use of the word. It is a love which is not bound to necessarily to physical expression, but it is some overwhelming feeling of love. They said this eros is actually a divine manifestation of the Lord. So I believe that they were searching in some ways for Krishna's Rupa Madhurya, the sweetness of his form. Oh, Krishna. Sorry. Ada, it seems this overwhelming feeling is expressed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who, as we will see a little later, actually saw Lord Krishna. He says, a person who once sees Lord Krishna becomes fortunate. His birth in this world has borne its true fruit. When the soul gazes at Lord Krishna with the eyes of his heart, it becomes free of the disease of material desires. In fact, the material desires flee from his heart. My dear devotees, this is how you must practice the darshan of Radha Madan Mohan. You must see him with the eyes of your heart. Don't try to see the deities with the eyes of flesh. You will not see them. But when you see them, it's called the bhava darshan, with a feeling of love, a feeling of prayer. Then you will immediately be rewarded in the heart by a deep feeling of satisfaction and also of being accepted. It is said when you have go before the deities, you will, if you learn to look with the eyes of your heart, you will have four regular realizations. One is that you are accepted without any condition. Even if you are a fallen soul, when you look at the deities, you feel, Krishna doesn't reject me. Isn't it? Have you ever felt when you look properly that the Lord says, go, just go out of the temple room? No. We feel accepted because that's the second thing we feel when we look at the deity, a parental affection coming from the deities. It's expressed like this in Shastra. So here it says, when one sees the form of the Lord once with the eyes of his heart, one becomes free from the disease of material desire. This is what Prabhupada always did when devotees had so much material desires and they are so dark in their face. He said, you must sit before the deities and chant. Because that will open the eyes of the heart. And then we will see the deity and the material desires will go. Please learn this in Goloka Dham. Because our deities in Goloka Dham are the best. Let me say the most beautiful. Now, some further descriptions about Krishna is given. He says, Lord Krishna is expert at enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan. He plays the flute and wears a forest flower garland. His wonderful form is threefold bending. He is full of transcendental qualities. Yes, Lord Krishna is an ocean of nectar. And then he describes Lord Krishna's complexion. He has the color of a new rain cloud. On his head, what we see on the head of the Lord? A graceful peacock feather. His tilak and his curly locks are graceful and splendid. He wears yellow garments. A sweet smile stays on his lips. His handsomeness and beauty makes the world wild with joy. And then he gives the traditional meditation which Krishna Bhaktas have made since many centuries. When you meditate about Krishna, there is a particular scene which you are advised to enter. He says, as I gaze at Krishna under that Kadamba tree, Krishna whose dark complexion defeats the sapphire. I see Krishna as a jewel mine of handsomeness. My heart really only wants to stay with him. My feet do not move from that place. I have forgotten everything about the material world. Oh, my friend, as I look at the nectarian sweetness of Krishna's form, tears of love flow from my eyes and I fall unconscious. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gaurahari and myself had a little bit of that feeling when Sri Sri Radha Kanhaiya Lal came to us. At that time, when we would see the beauty of the deity and we would embrace him in our hearts, we would feel, this is our treasure. I remember that. This is our treasure. We felt like that. This is one of our treasures. The devotee should know, this is the treasure which Krishna makes available for the devotees of this world. And I do really feel that, I know that some of you will say, this is a boring subject because I'm really more interested in the beauty of the world. My dear devotees, it's necessary that you think about this treasure. It's something which is given to you. It's something which waits for you. It's something which you can experience when you have darshan of the deities. And when you allow this treasure to come into your heart, you lose your desires in this world, which can never ever be satisfied. How can you ever feel rasa or the taste which develops in a relationship with mundane objects or people who you don't even know, people you don't even see, because the soul is different from the body. Let us go to the next, the Venu Madhurya. How does Krishna appear in Braj? The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Gopavesha Venukara Navakisho Natavara. These are adjectives. He is in the dress of a gopa, a young cowherd boy. Venukara, he carries a venu. He is always the fresh ever youth Navakishore. And Natavara, he's the best of dancers. About this Venu Madhurya is a beautiful little leela in this book, Prema Vilas, which describes a visit of Janava Mata to Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami came and to Janava Mata. Janava Mata said, "Please tell me a story about Krishna." Rupa Goswami said, "I'm very unqualified." This is always when you hear about them, they feel so humble that you really feel like, whew. Let Jiva Goswami tell us a story about Krishna. I want to hear from the lips of Jiva Goswami. He was his disciple. And Jiva Goswami, being ordered by Rupa, sat on an asan and then read the following pastimes. He talked how Srimati Radharani walked with her friends down the road in Vrindavan. Their beautiful hair were decorated with golden crowns. And they carried pitchers means like containers, full with butter, yogurt and milk on their heads. As they were coming down the road, they all of a sudden were shocked because from within the bushes, Lord Krishna jumped on the road and stopped all of them and demanded tax. Pay! Then only you can move through here. Now Srimati Radharani said to Krishna, "Who gives you the right to demand tax?" Krishna very, very impudently said, "I am ordered by the God of love to take tax." The gopis refused, but then Krishna jumped, listen to this, he jumped to them, he took the milk products from the heads of the gopis and started to eat them right in front of Srimati Radharani and her friends. So Radhika said, this is too much. Krishna said, "No, I'm the son of the king of Vrindavan. I can do what I want." Radharani said, "I am Vrisha Banu Maharaj's daughter, and you are Maharaj Nanda's son. You go, tend your cows and play your flute. You are always stealing milk and yogurt from the gopis and you eat it. And when you speak to the gopis, you purposefully touch their bodies." Soon I will go to your father and I will complain and then you just see what happens. When Radharani had finished playing her flute, Krishna just turned around and very sweetly played his flute and disappeared. In this way, he captured the full attention of the gopis, and his flute play captured their heart. They listened for a long time as Krishna was already gone, and the flute sound was still lingering around in the atmosphere. Now, you must know that externally these leelas appear a little rash and harsh. But in the mellows of deep love, the deepest love hides always behind a disguise. Even in this world, when people do not see, when people love each other, but they will sometimes look in another direction and pretend nothing is going on. Love will always hide itself the deeper it becomes. Because then, when it's hidden, it's more subtle. It's more strong. That's why an advanced devotee will never make a public spectacle of his feelings, because his love is not for presentation. So, after Krishna was gone, Radharani turned to Lalita and said to Lalita, "Tell me, Lalite, who is most dear to Krishna in all the three worlds?" Lalita said, "It's very clear. Krishna dresses in a yellow sari because yellow dhoti, because the dhoti is the color of your complexion. You, Radharani, are most dear to Krishna." He even wears a yellow pitambara, a yellow shawl, to be always associated with you. But when Vishakha heard this, she said, "I think Krishna's flute is dearest to Krishna, because the flute always drinks the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, lotus lips." And if you think deeply about it, it is the sound of the flute of Krishna which attracts all of our hearts. So when Radharani heard this from Vishakha, her love for Krishna fully manifested. She turned to Vishakha and said, "If this is true, then I will give up my life and take birth as Krishna's flute. Now let us sit under the desire tree at the foot of Govardhan, because it is there where all our desires will be fulfilled." You can see that Srimati Radharani is willing to give up her life to become a flute, because she wants to be so much related to Lord Krishna. This is a pastime told in Prem Vilas, a very beautiful pastime. And in order to reach this goal, she is prepared to go to Vrindavan under a desire tree at Giriraj's lotus feet to obtain her desire from Giriraj and the lotus feet. The tree. Actually, it is said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if you want to attain something in your spiritual life, it's only possible by the mercy of great personalities. And the greatest personality in Braj to fulfill your own spiritual desire is Giriraj. Hare Krishna. Is said like this. That's why we do our Govardhan retreat always at the feet of Giriraj and nowhere else. Hare Krishna. Those who are interested in Krishna Bhakti must come to Giriraj. It is a need. It is not an option. It is a need. Yes. Burijan Prabhu once told me how Giriraj fulfilled his desire to stay alive. He was chanting under a tree in Govardhan, and he was praying to Krishna. Something confident, personal. But he was always disturbed because there were some parrots who were shrieking, "Giyuk! Giyuk!" And they were so loud. And they would fly from the tree and then again fly at the trees with their talons and krallen, open. Then another king. Finally he said, and went some other place. And then the parents also went some other place. And do you know what he saw? from within the hollow of a tree, two black snakes came out, and one fell to the ground. These snakes had somehow smelled him, and they wanted to jump at him and kill him and drink his American blood. But the parrots who had been sent by Lord Krishna had fulfilled his desire to stay alive. They just, die haben Alarmflüge geflogen. Oder Angriffsflüge, so wie Stukas. And they have chased the snake back. Giriraj is very mystical. He fulfills all our needs and desires. Then there is the Rati Maduya. Krishna is surrounded by his loving devotees. These are very loving devotees. There is a song about this in the Kamoda Raga. I do not know the raga, so I will not try to sing it. It describes a little bit Krishna's how Krishna brings his devotees to him. Madhavananda, noch ein bisschen zu hören, 10 Minuten, dann sind wir fertig. It describes a little how Krishna attracts his devotees and how his devotees love him so much. It's not really easy to understand this subject. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about it very hesitatingly and very carefully. But I thought I would just quickly read this song to you. Then I will open the forum for some question. Hearing Krishna's flute music, after I heard Krishna's flute music, and after I saw his wonderful picture, and after I heard his virtues from the people's mouth, I find that I have fallen in love with him. With the other gopis, I wildly run to him. And see, this is a little bit describing a young Sakhi, a young girl who has heard about Krishna, who has heard his flute music, who has seen the other gopis drawing pictures of Krishna, and who has heard something about the good qualities of Krishna, and who now has her opportunity to meet Krishna. Describes a little bit of the emotions of this meeting. Not considering household duties, not thinking whether this is pious or sinful, and not allowing anyone to stop me, I go to meet Krishna. I go to the banks of the Yamuna and I ask the gopis for news of my beloved. Then I hear the flute and I hear the command spoken by the flute's melody, that is, come, come, come. Now I give up all fear for my life and enter the dark forest. As a river very strongly runs to the ocean, so this beautiful, sweet, saintly girl strongly runs into the forest. Finding Lord Krishna, she offers herself to him. Oh, why does my weak pen no longer move? As I begin to describe this meeting, my heart trembles. My heart does not move to describe the meeting. enjoyment, separation, or anything else about these lovers. As swine cannot appreciate a string of pearls, so the unfortunate people cannot understand the Lord's rasa dance pastimes. Considering the benefit of persons who are not qualified to hear of these things, and understanding that the time is not right, I end my kirtan here. In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understands that this Rati Madhurya, this loving dealings between Krishna and his devotees, are just of such an extraordinary category that he only hints at it. He says that for this love, the devotees in Braj are ready to give up everything. Just everything. See, you must know at the time of the social restrictions in India were such that a girl could never leave her home. And not in the middle of the night. That was so strong that Sita was actually rejected by Ram because she had been kidnapped. She had left the palace. Prabhupada writes in one place in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even the in Bengal 50 years ago at 50 years ago, when he wrote this, women would leave in pelicans the house. They would not be seen. When I was in Persia this time, I could see that women are, when they go over the streets, they are always covered. I could see with my own eyes. Our devotees would come covered. And then they would dress in saris for the program. Because in other cultures than our Western culture, which is really not the one and all and everything culture, it was considered that it would be just nice to have no influence of Mr. Lust. And people would act like that. And still in Braj, you can see even to this day. If you don't know a Brijbasi, they will just cover their faces. You can't see them. So at that time, for a young lady to leave the house in the dark of the night, undenkbar. Impossible to think of such a concept. But the gopis rushed when they heard the song of the flute. They rushed. And that proves their tremendous amount of love or rati. See, strength, you can only see it under certain conditions. For instance, when you look at an elephant, the elephant doesn't look very strong if he stands. He looks so slabby, so weak. Wie sagt man, so schlaff. So abgeschlafft, sagt man, glaube ich, in Deutsch. But when he is bound to an iron chain, and the elephant just makes like this, pim, and then the chain goes cling, and is torn. I have seen this. I thought, my God, is this strong? Die sehen so schlaff aus, so, oder? Geht es euch nicht so? But, boah, they have so much strength. It's inconceivable. They just go like a chain, like this. Plum. We had an elephant called Lakshmi, who had Liebeskummer, love ache in the heart. And she would regularly break her chains. And she would destroy boats, houses, everything, you know. And I thought, Lakshmi, you're so strong. So strength is sometimes hidden, but when there are extraordinary circumstances, the strength comes, becomes visible, you know, like a chain or so. So the gopis were also chained by social convention, but their love, the strength of their love showed as they were breaking those chains to reach Krishna. It is also how you can see your own advancement and love for Krishna. It is tested in, it is sometimes tested, and if in difficult circumstances it is there, then you know, this is a devotee. When life gets difficult for a devotee, where he takes shelter at that time proves how strong a devotee he is. When the difficulties come, and the devotee takes shelter in the material energy, you know he's a new devotee. And when difficulties come and the devotee takes shelter at Krishna, you know, oh, this is a real devotee. He has Krishna bhakti. You're wonderful. You can see, this is very simple, and you can make this simple test in your life. Where do you take shelter when things get difficult? So, yes, there are other sweetnesses. We have talked about three, but when I come back from, what is it? South Africa, then I will talk about Lila Madhurya. Today, I will not talk about Lila Madhurya, but I will talk about, make a concluding remark. Krishna is the greatest treasure for the devotee. Krishna bhakti or devotional service is the real treasure for the devotee. And prema, love for Krishna, is the real treasure of a devotee. You may not feel this now, because your attention is diverted to your own little world and so on. But when you come in certain situations in your life, for instance the time when you leave this body, you will know these are my only treasures. They always were, they always will be. I'm only sorry that I didn't guard them well enough, that I didn't cultivate these treasures well enough. I'm so sorry that I didn't look at my treasures well enough. But these are the only and real treasures which can stand even if in the face of the most difficult challenge which the soul in the world has to confront, that is his undesired departure from everything which he has built up in the kingdom of illusion. So only in Vrindavan, this is my concluding point, Krishna is showing these treasures to the of his beautiful form, his beautiful service, his beauty, the beautiful love, in the highest degree. That's why we are Vrindavan Valas, why we are feeling our attraction goes to Vrindavan. You can give a simple example. When you meet a man on the street, you will be able to see something of him and his maybe his wealth, but he will not display it so much. When you meet him in the office, you see a little bit more of his qualities. He speaks and he acts in the office, makes telephone calls. But if you see him at home with his beloved devotees and people, you see everything about him. On the Sharanagati webpage, soon you will be able to see a new feature. It is called Zuhause by God, at home with God. We will see some very nice scenes of Krishna's home life, Zuhause life. It is a part which is just now conceived and developed, and it might take, I would say, a few months before it is ready to flood your life with nectar. Hare Krishna. With some very nice plants. I want to now come to the question and answer session, if you do have any, on either this subject or related subjects which are in your mind and in your heart. Madhavanan.
Today I was reading about Krishna, that he was saying to Arjuna that he's doing puja, he's worshiping Shiva as his own soul.
Today I read, where did you read this? In a magazine, that Krishna says to Arjuna that he worships Lord Shiva as his own soul. The Chaitanya Bhagavata, there are many places where this is elaborated upon. Lord Shiva really appears in the Vaishnava horizon, not so much as a devata, but as a devotee of Krishna. In fact, the best of Krishna's devotees. And Krishna says in Bhagavata that he is always in the heart of his devotees, and his devotees are always in his heart. This is a heart-to-heart relationship with Lord, which Krishna has to Lord Shiva, and it comes out very, very nice, because Krishna has given Lord Shiva the key to the kingdom of God. In all the holy places, Lord Shiva is the guardian who is there, who allows the devotees to come to Krishna, and who protects the holy dharms from the intrusion of non-devotees. He is that Schwellenwächter to the kingdom of God. So, Lord Krishna sometimes will he even worships his devotees. There is a very, very, very nice commentary on by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on this. I must tell you, I became very much aware of the glories of Lord Shiva as I wandered through the Himalayan mountains, visiting the different holy places. And I could really see in my life, as I visited these places of Lord Shiva, that I had made a great mistake in my immature understanding of Krishna consciousness, where I thought, well, he's a devata, we should not worship the devatas. No, he is the greatest Vaishnava. Yes. It hit me really. I thought, wow, my God, I've really done Vaishnava Parad. Really not thought about this very deeply.
There was written on it that he worships him as that he does worship to him like to worship to himself. He worships him himself. And then this was in that he is an Ansa avatar of Krishna, not normally.
A partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, partial part, Angsa means part. Yeah. Shiva Tattva is a very nice thing. And the magazines which you have read, there are two part one and part two, they give wonderful informations. Also many questions like why does he behave sometimes so unconventional, you know, dancing on the graveyards, in the graveyards and so on. He hides himself from ignorant people. That's his reason. Many, many nice things are there. It's there you find much information. We have in Karuna Bhavan now some Shiva Linga appeared, who's very, very amazing. He has three lines, but then a big sign like this. In Braj, they say that once Lord Shiva came to Krishna, Mother Yashoda did not really appreciate that this Shiva, he was disguised as a beggar. With a wild appearance, would come to her little boy, and therefore she kept him outside. He said, "You can't see him." So at that time, Shiva went into a place called Asheshavan, the forest of hope. Ashesh means hope, where he meditated so that he could get the darshan of little Krishna. As he was deeply in meditation, Krishna rejected to drink the milk of Yashoda Ma. Now our householders who think very much about their children know, when the child rejects the milk of the mother, that's the end of the child. That's lebensgefährlich for the child. The mother Yashoda was thinking, for what is the matter? And that day Nanda Maharaj came and said, Yashoda, I saw a beggar who was crying before the door. Maybe you have been so unhospitable that now our Kanhaiya Lal is not able to drink milk because you made an aparad as the mother. And then Yashoda said, how could I see him? He had snakes, scorpions were around him. Nanda Maharaj said, I don't know. I said also to him, what do you want? And the beggar said, I want to have the darshan of your little boy, but your wife forbids me. Then I said, I know you, beggar. You just want rotis. Here, take your rotis. And he said, no, I don't want rotis. I want darshan of Krishna. So they were there. The little boy was not drinking the milk, and then Yashoda said, "Let's try to bring Shiva there." They found him where the gopis were sent out, and they found him in Asheshavan, and they brought him. And eventually Shiva came to little Krishna, and then Krishna embraced him, and he made with his finger like this, and the tilak appeared on his forehead. And that tilak you can see with your own happy eyes in that Karuna Bhavan. There is a Shivalinga who has the same sign of Lord Krishna. It is the most rare Shivalinga in this universe. There is not a second Shivalinga like that. You can see with your own eyes. Krishna, Krishna.
What is actually the meaning of the Shiva Tilak?
Three horizontal lines, I personally only know that it is something which the Mayavadis also take. It's a tilak, but what exactly the meaning is, why the three lines, what is the interpretation of the three lines, is not known to me. There must be a meaning. I do know that Mayavadi sannyasis draw three lines when they take sannyas. The first line is they cross the line, these three lines. The first line is their relatives, they will never see their relatives again. Then something else, and then the village or the area from which they are come in the third line. But I won't speculate that this means, this is the meaning of the tilak. I do not know this. Now, what do you think about this point of the lecture about the three riches of the Vaishnava? Do you sometimes think about these things? Spiritual wealth, spiritual riches? I think it's a very, very important point to think about. In Zagreb, when we came back from Pula, I asked the devotees, do you sometimes want to go back to Godhead? Is this a desire which you have? Do you sometimes think about this? And the devotees looked at me and said, Dobro pitanje, good question. Then I thought deeper about it. I thought, why does no one say yes? Or why do only the young bhakta say yes? And everyone else is silent, and which shows that this is not, they don't think about these things. And my conclusion was, it's not that the devotees don't want this. It's just that sometimes they are diverted in their attention to something else. And actually, I feel the result of a good sadhana is that this desire to go back to Godhead is very clear before your eyes. When your sadhana, or this desire, or the result of a good sadhana is, let me say, to be aware of Krishna and His sweetness, and be aware of your treasures. See, if you do not know where your treasures are, then you will develop anarthas. Anarthas means things which you think are treasures, but which are not valuable in your spiritual journey. Anartha. No? Artha means treasure or wealth. It's not that we are don't care for these things. It's just that in our lives we are sometimes diverted. But this diversion is our greatest enemy. And more, the joy which we find in the diversions is our super first class enemy. Because as we feel this joy, this means we are bound to Maya. Hare Krishna. You know there are these two types of rasas. One is a mundane rasa. And the mundane rasa has been described by Rupa Goswami as being flickering. It's sometimes there, then it changes. It's not there any longer. This happens very often in relationships. There is for some time, some happiness in it, and then it's all of a sudden no longer there. And also, it's anicca, not eternal. Whereas the spiritual rasa of Krishna consciousness, the taste of Krishna consciousness, is bhakti rasa amrita. Amrita is the nectar of immortality. It's always there, and it's not flickering. It's not dependent. So sometimes it is said the greatest obstacle for Krishna consciousness is that we find interest in other things which are not in Krishna consciousness, and we find joy. It is really, there is some taste in material life, no? Today I saw something. I saw a very, very interesting, for 10 minutes I saw a film where the greatest musicians of the world played for George Harrison when he had just died in Albert Hall. You know, it was a goodbye concert to George Harrison. The first part of the concert was done with mantras. You know, Ravi Shankar was in charge of organizing this. He said, George was like a son to me, and we will now do his favorite music. This was mantra music. It's a very moving thing. And then the second part was people like Eric Clapton, Paul McCartney, and other people who I don't know any longer. I only know Eric Clapton and Paul McCartney, but there were other people who I heard were very famous. But and I remember the life of George Harrison. I read this book from Gaura Bhavani. She gave this to me. I mean, it's also in the shop maybe of Gaura Bhavani. The Spiritual Journey of George Harrison. It's a very moving book. It describes how he is a world star who could see through the illusions of material life. I mean, and who turned to Krishna consciousness for answers, and who was chanting, he believed in chanting very much, chanting always in his garden, and he knew that was the reality. It's a very interesting thing. So, yes, I was thinking at that time how when such a person can give up the mundane taste, to understand Krishna is the real wealth, why can't we do this who have such good opportunity to engage our minds with Krishna? We live in a temple, we see Krishna, and we eat his prasadam. We are with devotees of the same mood, you know, they want Krishna and Krishna. So I feel it's very important for us to generate this awareness of our real treasures in life. I feel our Pujari department has done a great service to the community, and it's my desire to extend this service to the world community. That's why I wish to make this webpage At Home with God, where there will be pictures of Radha Madan Mohan and scenes and things. Because it's so important that the world understands what is treasure, what is artha, and what is anartha. That's so important. And there is some, you always, there is a great hope. You know, this one essential quality of the soul is that the soul can actually reflect the beauty of God. In other words, it can be touched by the beauty of God. It has this ability. You just need to look his way, in his direction. You just need to bring your mind there. You just need to bring your attention and your prayers there. And then immediately you will be rewarded with the satisfaction of the soul. Sometimes our turning to Krishna may take different levels of depths. As we grow older, it may mean that we have to do it differently when we were young. We may have to find out how we can turn to Krishna now in our lives. I am deeply convinced that either you do this by allowing the Krishna pulls you, or you will be pushed at the by the material energy in this direction eventually. This is my strong belief. If you are a good devotee, you will be... I like to be more pulled than pushed. It's terrible to be pushed by diseases, by desperation, by disillusions. Better to be pulled. That means just turn your face to Krishna. Dobro. Is there any other question? Anandini, did I see your hand? The sickness lasts exactly up to the time when you decide to become a servant of the Vaishnavas. The moment you decide to become a servant of the Vaishnavas, the sickness will flee and run away. That is the statement of Shukadev Goswami in the Bhagavatam, where he is very, very nicely addressing this point. And in these five verses of the Bhagavatam, which describe the process, how love of Godhead is developed. It's very interesting that these verses are taken by Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha. The Bhakti Sandarbha is a work which starts with the discussion why the conditioned soul doesn't feel attracted to Krishna. It has turned its face away from Krishna, and becomes entangled in Maya, in the Mayic world. And then it gives the remedy by quoting these verses that intelligent people take the sword in the hand, which is the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna, and cut this entanglement in Maya. But then he says, but the unfortunate thing is that this is only done for intelligent people can take this medicine. And intelligent people, the Sanskrit for intelligent people is they have discrimination between what is illusion and what is truth, and they are meditating. These are intelligent people, according to some Sanskrit which describes it. So those who don't have this discrimination and who don't meditate about the Lord, they cannot have this attraction. What should they do? Well, the Bhagavatam says they should go and serve holy people, and by this they will develop the ruchi. Now Jiva Goswami describes this very essential turning point in detail. What does it mean that in contact with holy people, you or spiritual people, you develop ruchi? How does this work? And he gives a very interesting description how this works. He says, And please now look, Jiva Goswami now wants to convince, to bring us on the path of, you know, making the turning point from conditioned life to spiritual life, to real, fulfilled Krishna conscious life. And please now see his logic. He obviously speaks in the logic of his times, or in the practicality of his time. He says the common people should go to holy places. Why? Because in holy places there are the devotees of Krishna live, And he says, only when a common man sees already a devotee, he gets an idea of what is virtual life. And then, when he sees them, he will hear about them. He will hear from them. And as he hears from them, Anandini, then he will think, this is good. And he will want to hear more and go deeper into this. This is, in other words, the serving of a saint, of a spiritual person. It means to hear from him. Then, to hear from him without filters, we could say in modern time. And to hear, and obviously after some time, to act upon what is heard. This is really where the turning point is. And I was thinking very much about it. And I want to tell you one thing which really convinced me of this. A long time ago, I went to Gangotri in the Himalayas. And I still remember one thing. I was on the path. It was a small path like this. And the winds started to blow, the afternoon winds. The dreaded heißt die gefürchteten Winde, started to blow. And I was already exhausted and I sat down behind a rock and just made a little pause. And then all of a sudden, as I was in the pause, I felt, there is someone. I started to look around. Someone was not near. Then I looked. You know, the path, there was a valley like this. Ganga was flowing here. And the path was here on this part of the rock. And I was sitting behind a rock here. So I looked over Mother Ganga into a forest of, I still remember the trees, Birkenbäume. Birch trees. Oder wie sagt man Birken? Birch? Birch trees. I looked in this forest and I saw, Anandini, something I cannot forget. I saw a devotee sitting there. And he was looking towards the sun and he was crying. But it was not the self-centered lamentation, oh, I'm so poor, crying. It was cries, tears of Krishna. I could see that. And I just looked from my little cave and I was so much moved, I can't tell you. And although I'm a little rascal, I felt, I will now go. I will, hopefully he doesn't see me and becomes disturbed that I'm there. Then I just went into the storm and I began to walk in the storm, and I thought, wow, how nice. What I thought, I only saw it for a minute. So I could see why Jiva Goswami says to the common people, go to the holy places, see some saints, and because it moves the heart. And I really feel that as we become older in our Krishna consciousness, when we feel our ukost is not there, ukost means taste, right? Our ukost is not there or it has gone. We should go into the association of devotees. We should serve them also, do something for them, and we should listen to them and do what they say. We should not feel I have heard this law so often and so on. I want to tell you how this moves and how this is a reality in my relationship to my own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. When I came from Munich, we hadn't slept enough, and it was a wonderful program, but there was one point which just got so much on my nerves, and I was so worried and so distressed. Why always these impossible things happen? Why are devotees so young still, and so on. And I was really it was not easy for my driverji to tolerate me, because when I'm so, when my nerves are so weak, not enough rest, and then some, then they put something on you, and then so on. And then I came, and I was really, instead, let me listen to a tape of Prabhupada. I just can't be so agitated any longer. I must get some solace. Put a tape. Prabhupada spoke so wonderfully about a point. It was just the point. And he talked about what it means to be a disciple. And as I listened to him, I thought, well, he talks about me. He gives me instructions now. Wonderful. And I heard and I felt so enlivened. And I thought, now I'm becoming, from this day I will become a good disciple. I want to do this, what Prabhupada says. So this hearing is the first service which you can do. Then it always helps when you hear this and then you do it. Of course, the ego doesn't want to listen, but the ego is not our own self. It's a foreign invasion. It's a foreign person who is not really acting in our interest. That's from the Bhaktisandhavas. I really could understand it, Anandini. It was not just some talk. I could really understand it, why Jiva Goswami is telling us we must visit the holy places. Now the devotees are traveling all over the world, so we should meet them where they are. We should listen to them. To avoid Krishna could be a spiritual emotion of the heart.
Realizing that I don't want to serve Krishna. Because, I mean, that's after all, that's why I'm here in this world. I turn away from Krishna, you just describe it, and then I go to Maya. So there's a reason why I'm here.
There are two aspects. It is true that a young devotee sometimes, with this motto of back to Godhead, has actually the idea of liberation in his mind, philosophically spoken, or you could say it in modern terms, escapism. So it is, it's not connected with Krishna necessarily, and it's not, therefore, So that is there. But it's also true that sometimes when we start our spiritual journey, we do it because of some agyata sukriti which is there and which fructifies. But after agyata sukriti, I read this from Baladev Vidyabhushana, it's important for us that we do something for our gyatva sukriti, to develop real unmotivated faith. In other words, a new devotee can run on agyata sukriti, some mercy, full intrusion, but older devotee has to do something to develop his faith so that it becomes a knowing faith or something on knowing. Well, but I want to answer your question on another level. Guru Shiromani, you always want Krishna because you are a soul. You're part of him. It's never true that you don't want Krishna. You may be covered with illusion and then put your love into something else, but behind it, the driving force is always a soul force. No one could really, this whole world operates on the strength of the living force, which is a soul. And the soul in its in its purified state, wants Krishna, and the soul in an covered, or when there is an impure material influence going on, it doesn't want Krishna. But even if the soul wants Maya, so to say, or some other things, then you can be rest assured that this is ultimately a spiritual impulse behind wanting something. So if you go deep enough, or if you follow desires to the end, you will always come to the soul, which ultimately has something, yearns for the Lord. This falling away from Krishna is actually only possible not because someone actively desires, oops, I don't want you, Krishna, any longer. It's more described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as like a covering. And at that time, as the covering increases, then you want something else than Krishna. But really, this is discussed in the Bhagavatam, where it is said, why do we love ourselves so much? And it said, because there's a soul in the body. Okay, so why do we ultimately love the soul? Well, because it's part of the super soul, because it's part of God, therefore it's lovable. That's the Bhagavatam logic. So, I think behind your question is more a search for authenticity. You say, I don't want to play a role. That is, I think, what is in you. But you must know, as long as you are not surrendered to Krishna, you play a role in Maya's play act. It is, you, better is to become purified and serve Lord Krishna in some ways which is realistic. Sometimes, as we are in devotional service, we might also develop a sense of rebellion against Krishna. Oh Krishna, I tried to serve you so long and you have not yet responded to my endeavors. And unconsciously a rebellion develops in our heart. That is possible. That is possible, that there is this rebellious feelings against Krishna. And there's a very nice article which I would request you to read. It's not even an article, it's 5 pages. It's on depending on Krishna, waiting for Krishna. So that is what I can answer to you. I see, in other words, behind the very symptoms of wherever there is attachment or love, it's ultimately love of Krishna. I've written about this in the Yoga Journal. I've quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When our love for Krishna is directed towards taking care of others, then it becomes the humanitarian concern. When our love of Krishna is directed towards money, it becomes greed. When our love of Krishna is turned towards the beautiful bodies of the opposite partner, it becomes lust. But it's always when you go deep behind it, it's a spiritual, let me say, reality, which is there. That's my answer. I hope it's not too God-conscious, the answer. I mean, in the sense of assuming God's presence without proving it. That's how I see it. There is no higher taste than Krishna consciousness. That's why you find the great, you find examples in all traditions where people become God conscious. There is no higher reality than that. Even I had a discussion with the Kulturminister in Bosnia. He told me, I will support you financially with spreading Krishna consciousness. Why? Because for me it is absolutely clear that as I have studied carefully, that the basis of any sanity in any society does ultimately come from God-conscious rules. Like, for instance, thou shall not kill, you know, think about it. It's these spiritual things, this is an accepted fact in the life of the history of our world, that really this foundations of our life is a spiritual one, and as soon as you come to this spiritual foundations, there is Krishna or God and his rules. Another thing which I was thinking about when I'm thinking a lot also about questions like that, because as a preacher I meet them every day with the people I meet. Another thing I thought is, when you really turn to Krishna Gaura Shiromani, you will see that the satisfaction of your heart, that reward in the heart, will tell you that you are on the right path. And that is ultimately the proof for an individual, the satisfaction of his own heart. That is ultimately the proof for him. That tells him, ultimately, I'm on the right path. That satisfaction of the heart, I think every devotee knows this, and certainly you know it very well, can come. Let us please not think that because there are so much young devotees and so much, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls it utsaha mayi. It means a wrong type of enthusiasm, which when you think about it the way he describes it in his example, it's really enthusiasm which is dependent on external things. He gives the example of the young Brahmin boy who feels so happy because he has been given a book, and now he feels, I'm also a grown-up person and a great pandit. It's really that thing which goes on with new devotees, you know, they have get that. I remember when I got my dhoti, I mean, I was so enthusiastic. and many young devotees were like me, you know, and are like me. They are more enthusiastic really because of external things. But yes, the child should now learn to read the book, and then his enthusiasm will be real because he understands the book and of wisdom, the shastra which he holds in his arms. So I want to also say, the young as when you start, you can start on Agyata Sukriti, and yes, I agree, sometimes the young devotees, because they're so young, are really dependent on external things, you know. And I know it very well because I meet all these young devotees. I'm one of the preachers who are still on the street, you know, and meet the young, the raw bhakti of these people. I just got a letter where the devotee said, Krishna is the greatest, a very young devotee. And still lovable in my eyes. But now as we go older, yes, some effort is necessary to show Krishna that we are not gleichgültig, indifferent to get his mercy. That is as good as I can do on your question, but I will think more about it. But please believe me. This is not just, sometimes devotees say to me, yes, Sachinandan Swami, we know you. We know that you believe in this. Yes, we believe you. This is you. This is not something for others. But no, this is really in the scriptures for others. It's a process. It's a bona fide process. I often think, Gaura Shiromani, when a rascal and fool like me can be happy in Krishna consciousness, then also someone who is not intelligent like me, then others have much greater chances. Really, Gaura Shiromani, I'm not a special person. It's just especially unfortunate. It's just, I know. I also know these doubts, of course. You know, I'm a long time in this process. But I just know, if you turn sincerely to Krishna, Krishna will, and you turn with this desire, I wish to make an experience, I want to see this, but in a humble way, not in a, you know, like in a challenging way, then Krishna will not let you down. Krishna will give you the satisfaction of the heart and the proofs which you ultimately need when you are an older devotee. You know, you ultimately need that. I don't want to say you don't need philosophy. That sounds so, I don't know. You need everything of Krishna consciousness. But ultimately we need that experience of Krishna consciousness. That will prove to us more than anything. And I know for that, as if you turn older, some effort is required, some turning to Krishna is required. Maybe even some weeding is required. As we spoke about this, going into the garden of the heart and asking ourselves, why are we so doubtful? Well, maybe this is also psychological reasons. You know, maybe we have to do some work there, maybe we have to look there. Why are we rebellious at this stage of our life, or disinterested, and of whatever it is? I mean, I'm not speaking about you, but I'm speaking about, you know, devotees, a normal devotional and a normal experience on the devotional path. Krishna, thank you very much for all of your questions. I have now some request. Please bless me. I'm a little afraid to go to South Africa. It's a new place. We have to drive for almost the whole day in the airplane. Oops. I don't know why I said yes. Now I have to go. The ticket is there. Please pray. Please pray that Krishna protects me, that I do everything correct, and that I inspire the devotees. I mean, they pay out the ticket, and now I have to really try to inspire them and make a change in their lives, so that it's not just another visitor who says something which they feel is maybe theoretically correct, but they must feel it's practically correct. And my path is not easy. It's a difficult path, but it's a blissful path. But I need support and inspiration, support, just moral support. Please give this. And I have brought some prasadam for you. Not brought, it's from the deities in Udupi, and from Radha Desh, and from Radha Kanaya Lal. Others a star. So I wish I will now give you this prasadam, and I will end this class so that we can all go to bed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur-Nitai ki jai, Gaur-Prema-Nandi Hari Hari Bol.